episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the home of free speech. Go keep this home, keep it going. Don't let it fall down. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the funds to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. It's our Monday show. Monday means Mark Collett jumps across the pond. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It's good to be here. It's good to be starting my week with you, as always. And I'm sure we've got lots of interesting things to discuss and to enlighten the audience with today.
Well, lots of interesting things. And, of course, you've been taking up the Friday show on David Duke, who's on vacation. He's on vacation. Maybe he's missing out on all the fun stuff that's going on in the United States right now, but he's on vacation, and I haven't talked to him for the past week, but I know he's healthy, and he's not in the hospital and all that stuff. He's just decompressing from high compression. But I heard your I've heard your shows, and the young man you had on from Australia, wow, they are making up for lost time in Australia in terms of immigration. When is Australia just going to become the 27th state of India? That's what I'm wondering.
Well, I have been doing the Dr. David Duke show, and I have actually been having quite a bit of fun doing it as well, because it's sort of a different show now I'm doing it. I mean, obviously, it's the same sort of core topics that we're discussing, but I sort of do the show a little bit differently in terms of bringing on sort of a wide range of guests who wish to discuss different issues. And what I'm trying to do is interview people from all over the world who potentially want to know more about or want to share issues to do with what's going on in their, you know, home countries, and, you know, share those things with Dr. David Duke's audience. So I'm hoping that people are liking that, and I'm hoping people are liking, you know, the change of pace. But it's certainly interesting when you have guests on from places like Australia to note sort of straight away just how they are facing exactly the same existential threat as people in America, the UK, France, or Germany. And it's one of the things I always point out when people say, oh, you know, white genocide or replacement migration is all a conspiracy theory. It's absolutely not a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy against white people. And you can say this with quite a lot of confidence, really, because these things aren't just happening in one country. These things aren't just happening in, say, America or the UK. This isn't just sort of, you know, a problem that faces, you know, white Europeans in certain countries. This is a problem that faces white Europeans all over the world. And that, to me, has always been a real sort of gross indictment of what is actually occurring. Because fundamentally, if this was just, say, a quirk of the Germans or a quirk of the Anglosphere, you might be able to write that off. But this is not. This is something that wherever you look in the world, we are facing exactly the same problems. And I think it's indicative, really, of you know, the fact that everywhere you have this sort of pervasive mainstream media, the mainstream media uses its power, you know, on every European nation to effectively ensure that white Europeans become more accepting, you know, of their own demise.
And demise is the key operational word there. And what, you know, what you're seeing is not simply replacement, but you're seeing demoralization. You're seeing whites written out of their own history. You know, historical dramas on the BBC, they're writing in blacks everywhere, which is part of, it's really kind of a psychological campaign. And then finally, you're just seeing incentivization, what's the word, incitement of violence against whites. And it, like in the United States, just in the past week, we've seen on video two murders of whites, just random murders of whites. One was hitting him on a bicycle in a stolen car, and the other was driving by with on a bicycle and just shooting some guy. The guy who shot the who ran over the man on a bicycle, his friends were live streaming it at the time and hooping it up and laughing, so he got caught. But the guy on the bicycle, they're not going to catch him. It's just going on. So yeah, it's more than just replacement. It's replacement and humiliation ritual and violence.
Well, I want to make a couple of points here. First is more of a tangential point, so forgive me. And the second is more of a serious point about the actual violence that we're facing. Now, the tangential point is, you were saying that the BBC replaces white people in historical dramas. You know, you'll watch something which is set in Victorian England, maybe sort of like one of these historical reenactment shows, which is nothing more really than a tawdry soap opera, but set in a beautiful old English setting. And obviously these shows are made for adults, and they force in all of the diversity, and you end up with an Indian, a black, a mixed race couple, maybe a bit of LGBT thrown in there for good measure. You can't miss out the LGBT, can you, Patrick? You know, you've got to have that in there too. And you see all of this, and it is very, very sickening to see this happening. And I'm not saying it's not sickening. It is. It does sicken me. But what I'll say is, there is more to this, and there are things that are more sickening than that. And one of the things that I would say is the most sickening is, in fact, when the BBC make not period dramas or things for adults, but when they make things for children. And at the moment, there is a particularly vile piece of propaganda doing the rounds, which was created by this black man who's clearly anti-white. And he has made this, I want to say historical piece, but if I say historical piece, that makes it sound as if it's actually, you know, when you say this is a historical piece, there are connotations to using that word. And one of the connotations is you expect the truth. Well, there is no truth here. There's no truth in this historical piece, in inverted commas. What you instead have is just lie after lie after lie. And this historical piece, in inverted commas, presents sort of cavemen, Romans, Vikings, the Norman conquest, the Saxons, you know, the Victorians, you know, medieval knights in shining armor, all of these things which, you know, were important to Britain and played a part in the development of modern day Britain, but were all absolutely European. And every single character is black. In fact, we are at the point with this where there isn't a single white person in any of those. It's all a black man presenting history as if white people weren't even there. So it's not enough now. It's not enough now to just say, well, look, what we're doing here is we are making a bit of a period drama for adults, and we're throwing in a bit of diversity. That isn't where it's ending. Where this is going is they're taking this, making actual what would be described as historical documentary for children, nonetheless, and simply writing white people out of those documentaries. So now any white child seeing this would say to their mum and dad, well, I don't know why, you know, why wouldn't you vote for mass immigration? What's wrong with black people coming here? Black people were always here. Black people created Britain. Black people were the first Britons. So what's the issue? And obviously they weren't. Obviously this is all an absolutely egregious lie, which is used to attack white people. It's attack and undermine, but most importantly, to soften white people up for their own replacement, to make them more accepting of the horrible things that the government is planning for us, or the government and the media, the establishment as a whole and the media. And I would go as far as to say that, and I've said this many times on the show, that this isn't a matter of white people just being reduced to a minority. This is white people being reduced to a hated minority in their ancestral homeland. And the fact that it is being pushed so absolutely aggressively on children makes the whole thing just so much worse. It makes it just so much more sinister. It makes it, you can see it for the evil that it is. The evil of this is essentially the establishment using their power, using their sway over the media, to basically ensure that white children grow up in a world where they will accept the anti-white agenda. And that's just disgusting. And if it was happening to any other racial group, there would be people up in arms. You wouldn't be able to go and tell black children that they essentially had no place in the world. That would be something that would be almost the ultimate taboo. But you can do it to white children. And it's being done by the BBC. And the BBC are obviously funded by the taxpayer. And I've said this 1,000 times. The BBC charge a licence fee. Well, if you are paying that licence fee, you are a fool. Stop paying your licence fee today. Give not one penny more to the BBC. And stop funding this, what amounts to anti-white hate. Just stop. You know, you can stop. I don't pay a licence fee. No one else should pay a licence fee. This should be something where, you know, we as people just say, you know what, enough is enough. Enough's enough. We're just not doing this anymore. We're not doing it. We're not having it. But white people are always just too nice. Let this carry on. We let our abusers, you know, do as they will to us. And it's very, 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 very frustrating. But this is the latest thing. You know, children will be taught, you know, by the BBC that white people effectively had no role in the building of Britain, which is an absolutely egregious lie.
Yeah. And, well, you know, they're teaching children. And, of course, the children aren't all white. In the United States, children are majority not white. And so, you know, they're teaching all this stuff through the public schools in the United States. The public schools are majority non-white. So it's not simply that they're humiliating the whites, but they're inciting the non-whites against the whites. And then, of course, you've got a lot of people, increasingly, you're getting, say, especially like black, white women having babies with black men. The black man might not be around, but those mixed race kids going to public school, they get indoctrinated to relate not to the white family that's raising them, but to the black man who abandoned them. And a prime example is Barack Obama, who was raised by his white grandparents and his young white mother to whatever extent she was able to. And, you know, he became Barack Obama, relating to a father in Africa that maybe he met once, that he can remember. The football player Colin Kaepernick's another example, raised by his white grandparents, and he became the driver of the kneeling before, you know, the inventor basically of kneeling during the national anthem. If you're a millionaire athlete protesting against all of the injustice that you've faced, so you've got that. I mean, you've got the incentivization of incitement of children to despise whites, because the children are increasingly non-white themselves, and those who are of mixed heritage being incentivized to relate to their non-white side as opposed to their white side.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's another issue. I constantly hear, or we constantly hear, this term when, you know, referring to you know, blacks and whites, that anybody who, you know, is of mixed race origin is de facto black. And I always find that very interesting. So Barack Obama was America's first black president. Colin Kaepernick is, you know, a black football player. Now, neither of those people are really what you would describe as black. Now, they do have some African origin, but they also have white origin. They're of mixed race parentage. But it's amazing that, despite the fact that both of the men in question were actually brought up by the white side of their family, which is very, very interesting. They were both brought up by the white side of the family, so they think they would be more amenable to whites. They actually identify with the side of the family that they never saw, and that's strange. And in the case of Colin Kaepernick, despite his family obviously bringing him up well, looking after him, and him going on to lead this very, you know, for want of a better term, you know, privileged life in the, you know, the NFL and making all this money, and obviously, you know, his family must have been very supportive for that to have happened. Kaepernick has since actually attacked the white couple, or, you know, that brought him up. They've attacked them and said that, you know, they were part of almost like an abusive system which put him down. They told him, you know, take that hairstyle out, you don't want to look like this. And they were part of this abusive system of keeping down the man, as it were, keeping down the black man. And I look at things like this and you wonder how, but those people must have done a lot for him, and they must feel absolutely gutted to hear him talk about them like that. But it really does show you, doesn't it, just how soulless and vile these race baiters are, that they will go to the lengths of disavowing the white families or the white relatives that love them and look after them just to make money or political capital.
And that's the direction that society has gone in. Now, when I was in elementary school, maybe second grade or so, was maybe 9 years old, 8, 9 years old, whatever that is, I remember my brother coming home from his school, and he had made a family coat of arms. And I was looking at the coat of arms, and it had the flag of Ireland and the flag of England and the flag of Switzerland. And he said, this is, and, you know, a horse and some other stuff. And he said, this is our coat of arms. He had invented it, but, you know, we're Irish and we're English and we're Swiss. And I thought, really? I thought we were American. And so I started becoming very interested in this. And I started asking my various classmates where their ancestors came from. I'd say, you know, what nationality are you? And it was a question that nobody had ever heard, and they didn't know how to respond. And usually they'd have to go home and ask their parents. And, you know, they'd come back, and maybe they were Irish, or maybe they were German. A lot were German. Or maybe they were Polish or whatever, or half this or a quarter that. And I was interested in that. But the thing is, whether somebody was Irish or Polish or German, everybody related, and maybe only had come over, their only, maybe their grandparents had come over, or their great grandparents, but everybody related to George Washington and the American Revolution, and they didn't stop relating to it when they found out that their ancestors had come over maybe 100 years after the Revolution. It didn't matter. Everybody related to that. They related to those stories. They thought of themselves as Americans. And didn't stop being American because, you know, at Ellis Island we were abused. We weren't, you know, our name was misspelled or whatever. And it's just so different now that anybody who can claim any, like, you know, some imaginary Indian ancestor, the Senator Elizabeth Warren, who supposedly like 10 generations ago might have had an Indian ancestor, that she wants to identify as an Indian. Because being white is, it's a stigma.
It's out of vogue. It's out of vogue. That's what it is. It's not in vogue to be white. So you have to make up your something else. And you know what? She's not the only one, though, is she? There have been numerous different, what would you say, sort of celebrities, lecturers, you know, whatever you want to call them, that have all gone down this road, So it's not just the likes of this. They say we're young and we don't know, won't find out.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Celebrities, lecturers, you know, whatever you want to call them, that have all gone down this road, that have gone down this road. So it's not just the likes of this, Elizabeth Warren. There have been numerous people who have done their best to obscure their actual racial origin to simply jump on this bandwagon. And it's quite interesting because we started the show, you were talking about my Australian guest on the Dr. David Duke Show, and it was quite interesting because he did come out with a very, very interesting fact about the situation in Australia, where he was saying they're trying to push through this new thing for, you know, Aboriginal sort of power within Australia. And he said it's supported by all these people who look sort of white or just a tad off white. And those people are all part of this, new sort of emerging, you know, anti-white power structure. And every one of them obviously claims that, in fact, they are part Aboriginal. That they are, you know, oh, I'm 1/8 Aboriginal, so I'm supporting, and it's called The Voice, so I'm supporting The Voice for Aboriginals, you know, to make sure that everything that goes through Parliament has to be okayed by the Aboriginals. Interesting, really, because it does seem now as if sort of being white is openly acknowledged by so many, as being almost a disadvantage, as a barrier to entry in certain industries, in certain endeavours. And when you start talking about this, you see, I've got a letter today from the BBC, because the BBC are doing a programme about Patriotic Alternative, and myself, we're being featured, we're going to be smeared. And they always use terms like sort of demonstratively false, your demonstratively false narrative. And I think to myself, you always say it's demonstratively false, but you never demonstrate that it actually is false. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing when you talk about a demonstratively false narrative is that fundamentally, we as a group, we obviously have the right to campaign on things, but if we're getting it wrong, and if everything we say is so demonstratively false, as they like to point out, why don't they bring us on the show and debate with us? You see, I'm not scared of debating anyone, because what I say is not demonstratively false. In fact, it's absolutely true. But these people are absolutely terrified of debating people from our side of the political fence. That's why they spend all their time sort of reverting to the usual sort of nonsense. So, you know, the letter from the BBC was full of terms like he's a white nationalist, he's a far right extremist, you know, a conspiracy theorist, etc. And ultimately, those terms are just used as silencing terms. They're not used because they actually mean anything. You know, when you say to somebody, well, you're a conspiracy, we'll explain what I'm saying that's wrong. Explain what is part of a conspiracy theory, which is factually incorrect. And then let's discuss this. But they don't want to discuss that. So apparently, all the stuff I say, and this was something else that was in the newspapers about us the other week. There was a picture of one of our activists. And, you know, it said, you know, James Costello, patriotic alternative activist, who falsely claimed that the UK establishment is anti-white. Well, you say falsely claimed, but they are. And if it's false, explain how he's lied. You can't just say, well, that's false. Well, explain. But they can't explain because it obviously is anti-white. And I do find it very interesting now. But everything that we just, you know, the fact that people within the establishment are absolutely changing, you know, their own sort of family histories and attempting to sort of LARP as, you know, either black or quarter Aboriginal or this or that, simply so that they can benefit from this new racial hierarchy. Mm. And then they have the gall to say, oh, no, the talk of anti-whiteness, that's talk of anti-whiteness is just a conspiracy theory. Okay, well, fair enough then. But if it's a conspiracy theory, why are you pretending to be of another racial group or of mixed race heritage, etc., to benefit from the anti-white rhetoric? Because that's what it is, isn't it? When you actually look at what we're talking about, those people are fundamentally benefiting from an anti-white narrative which is pushed by the media and the establishment. And that's why when somebody like Barack Obama is asked, well, what's your racial origin? He would say, I'm black. He wouldn't say I'm mixed race, and he wouldn't want to give any, sort of kudos to the white grandma who raised him, his white grandparents who raised him.
Right. So I have a couple of things that I think of regarding Australia, and I saw this about the Voice, and I'm not, you know, it's really unclear. Or it was unclear in the article I read what direction that's going to. Maybe I need to look into it more. But with Aborigines, I've been to Australia, I've been to Alice Springs, and I've met and seen pure Aborigines. And, you know, Aborigines, like unlike Africans, I mean, the Africans who were brought to the United States as slaves, enslaved by their
by the Billy Bong under the shade of a coolabah tree. When he sang as he watched and waited till his billy boiled, you'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. Waltzing Matilda, you'll come a waltzing Matilda with me.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Pure Aborigines. And, you know, Aborigines, like, unlike Africans, I mean, the Africans who were brought to the United States as slaves, enslaved by their by other Africans, and to a large extent brought over by Jewish ship owners, but they were not Stone Age. They were, you know, they had agriculture. They were, I don't think Africa was a very great place to live and everything. They didn't have high civilization. They didn't have writing. They didn't have two-story buildings, but they were, you know, they were agricultural. And we see there's a big difference between blacks and whites. But when you're talking about Aborigines, the Aborigines were Stone Age. They weren't even particularly Neolithic. They didn't have agriculture. They were hunter-gatherers, very low technology, and they're like, I talked to a man who ran a mission for them, and just for an Aborigine to sit in a room, like sit in a classroom, it's just they're not evolved for that. They're not evolved for this type of thing, and they may have their own particular skills. In fact, I'm sure they do have skills. I'm sure that they would do, if I was released in the Australian outback, I would do very poorly, and they would do much better with their particular genetic skill set and everything. But the thing is, the pure Aborigines aren't going to be the ones who are making decisions in terms of the voice. So this voice thing is being set up by people to a large extent who only have a smattering of Aborigine ancestry. And they're going to use it to their own advantage. And, you know, maybe the pure Aborigines who are sitting on the curbside drunk in Alice Springs, maybe they'll get some benefit from it, or maybe they won't. But it's not about them. You get this kind of mixed race or marginally aboriginalized group that's going to be throwing their weight around. It's all very weird. One other thing is, I saw part of Donald Trump's interview on Face the Nation. Face the Nation now has a brand new host, and this was her first interview. And she's half black, half white, meaning half black. She had a black mother. This is unusual. She had a white father and a black mother. The black mother might have been relatively light skinned. So this woman doesn't look particularly African, but she doesn't look straight white. You look at her and you say, I wonder what her background is. But she had this style. You were talking about being accused of being demonstrably false about this or that, and this has become kind of the new style in so-called journalism, where they're just dismissing other people's ideas. I saw mainstream press articles about this interview talking about Trump's lies and this type of thing. And during the interview, she was trying to fact check him. And of course, her fact checking is not factual. She said, doesn't Hunter Biden's indictment, doesn't that just disprove your whole claim that there's a two-tier justice system? And it's like Hunter Biden's done so many things, and he got indicted for just two out of a possible like 20 something crimes that he could have been indicted for, and that only comes after a plea deal broke down. He had this completely this plea deal that was just too good to be true, and a judge said, no, we're not going to do this plea deal, where he would have gotten a complete slap on the wrist, and then none of the crimes that for the most part involved his father as well, none of them could be looked at. And Trump says, no, I don't think it disproves it at all. If anything, it proves it. And he gives a few reasons, and he mentions Hunter Biden's, who had been on the board of the Ukrainian energy corporation Burisma, and Joe Biden, who David Duke has talked about this over and over and played the tape over and over. Joe Biden was at Harvard. I think he was at Harvard. He was at somewhere, and he was talking on camera, and he's saying, you know, I went over to Ukraine and I said, look, if you don't dismiss this prosecutor, the prosecutor who was looking into his son, if you don't dismiss this prosecutor, you're not getting that $1 billion. In aid. And they said, well, no, that's from Barack Obama. He says, try me, I'm going to be on that airplane in 1 hour, and if you don't dismiss him in 1 hour, then you're not getting the aid. And son of a gun, wouldn't you know it, they dismissed him, and he's bragging about it. And Trump brings that up, and the woman said, oh, well, that's been looked into. It's been looked into. Passive voice, looked into by whom? So I'm just bringing up those things. You can respond any way you want. Go anywhere you want.
Well, no, people often, this is another thing, people often talk about, two-tier justice system. It's something I talk about as well. It's obviously something that, is sort of close to my heart. And I'll often talk about things such as, establishment paedophile who's got a million pictures of child pornography on his computer, and he will, walk out of court with essentially what amounts to a slap on the wrist. Now, at that point, what you're going to get is somebody saying, but they went after that paedophile, didn't they? They went, he got taken to court. And you're like, well, yes, he did. But he had over a million images of child pornography on his computer, and he walked out of court a free man. Whereas the people that we're talking about, people like the Obamas or the Bidens, they go to court and they walk out of court with this slap on the wrist, and then they'll say, right, justice has been done. And then you look at the other side of the scale, somebody on our side of the political fence who gets taken to court, and not for something serious like sort of child pornography, but like sharing a link on social media or misgendering somebody or something that really is sort of a non-crime or a thought crime or something like that. And they'll throw the book at them and they'll be like, well, this person here, he or she, they're going to spend this long in jail. They've got to have all their mobile phones taken off them. You know, they're coming out on the harshest possible parole, imaginable. And you're thinking to yourself, what? What? This person just called somebody a name. He called somebody a name. You can't throw the book at somebody for calling somebody a name and then let somebody walk out of court, a free man after, possessing millions of images of child pornography. But that's exactly what happens. And then you'll say, oh, but there's and then you'll point out that rightfully there is a two-tier justice system. Not that it's right that there's a two-tier justice system, but it's rightful that you pointed out, and it is correct, that there is a two-tier justice system. But when you say it, there will always, as I've said, be this absolute smart-ass response of, oh, but they took that person to court. What are you saying? That person was taken to court. Well, yeah, yes, very good. They were taken to court, but they were basically given a slap on the wrist for a crime that was absolutely horrific, a crime that sort of curls your toes because it's just so vile. And then somebody else, she shared a social media link. Oh, well, 4 years and 8 months in jail. And you're just like, what? Where's this coming from? And you know exactly where it's coming from. It's coming from a crooked establishment, a judiciary that's been totally, co-opted and, taken over. And, we look at this and we think to ourselves, how can then we sit there, on, say, a show or something like that, when you're debating with these people, and you're saying to them, well, hey, fundamentally, what we're seeing here is a complete and total injustice. But they'll sit there with a straight face telling you how, in fact, it's not an injustice at all, and we're just completely wrong, and the world is a just place because a guy got a slap on the wrist for doing something which is absolutely vile, and another guy did something which really, to any reasonable person, you'd say, well, this amounts to a hill of beans, but they're the one serving that long sentence. And the best example of this on a national scale or an international scale or whatever you want to call it is the issue of Donald Trump. Because what Donald Trump has done, really, if you're being honest, is neither here nor there. Yet he's up on these highly motivated political charges, and you're thinking to yourself, my lord, what is going to happen here? This guy could spend like 300 years in jail, but people who are actually up to their neck in real corruption, real issues, nothing, absolutely nothing, because it's Joe Biden's son. And I think another way this can always be seen, and this never fails to amuse me, I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't find this as funny as I do, but I will say that when I see, the sort of situations that we're talking about, I always think sort of across the board of how we're treated with such some complete inequality. And one of the ways that we're treated with such inequality is when we're talking about issues such as the way the media treat people like Donald Trump. So Donald Trump got chewed out at how many press conferences? How many press conferences were there where Donald Trump was absolutely, totally and utterly, wrecked? He was, taken to task. He was chewed out. He was made out that he was this, the greatest evil that the world had ever bore witness to. And then fundamentally, we then expected to believe that the media is fair and decent and honest and true, as the media interview Joe Biden, as he bumbles around on stage, makes the wrong speech to the wrong crowd, says weird things, starts gibbering about things that make no sense, but the media just sit there smiling and politely clapping as all this is going on. But we as normal people, we are meant to absolutely believe that is the fair, just and honest way to deal with such an issue, which of course it isn't. You know, as soon as you start presenting these things, you realize that everything, literally everything that we see and everything that's presented to us, is in some way grossly corrupt, grossly unfair, and presented in such a way that just is so far, far from fair and honest and, you know, reasonable. And you've got to understand at that point that this isn't a democracy. This is just one big pantomime that's played out by the mainstream media.
Yeah. And, you know, something that I haven't seen the whole Trump interview. Maybe he mentioned this later on. I just couldn't take it anymore. This woman and her pretentiousness and talking down to Donald Trump as if he's like a naughty child. But another example of the two-tier justice system is just look at the, I guess it's about over 1,000 of Trump supporters who have been arrested for walking into the Capitol. Now, you had a very small number of people in these militias where they were wearing khaki uniforms, and then a few Proud Boys who broke windows. Okay, so breaking windows to go in, that's one thing. But the vast majority of these people, who, by the way, they use all sorts of technology, facial recognition, cell phone, data locate, you know, what, geopositioning and whatever, to arrest all these just regular random people who had walked into the Capitol when the doors were open and the police were saying, come on in. The police were, we've got the video of this. We see that they came in, and a lot of people say, well, you know, they're in prison for two years waiting for trial for trespassing. But it's not even trespassing, because they were waved in. The Capitol is the people's house. It's always open. I've been in it so many times. You just walk in. The Capitol lawn is always open. There were barricades that were put up that particular day, but by the time most of the people got there, the barricades had been moved away, whether, you know, it was by demonstrators or by police. Nobody thought that they were trespassing. And the only reason that you weren't allowed inside the Capitol wasn't because of the events. It wasn't because you're not allowed in when they're counting the electoral votes. No, you are allowed in. 4 years earlier, they had demonstrations in the chambers where the votes were being counted, and Vice President Biden, who was presiding at the time, had the sergeant of arms remove some protesters. You had members of the public and protesters in there. It's not illegal. The only reason that people weren't going in then was because of Nancy Pelosi's COVID restrictions. So they're in jail for 2 years for violating Nancy Pelosi's COVID social distancing restrictions. I've never heard anybody mention that, because I guess they're just not familiar with the Capitol. But that's why what these people are in for. Talk about a two-tier justice system. They're rotting in horrible conditions for violating Nancy Pelosi's COVID social distancing. That's not two-tier justice system. If that's not a two-tier justice system, I don't know what is. So,
well, no, I completely agree. I think that, you know, what you're saying is absolutely 100% spot on. You know, what you've got here is a situation where fundamentally everything that we see around us is basically a construction of people that hate us, and they have constructed this gigantic two-tier system. And this two-tier system punishes those who don't comply very, very harshly, even for the most minor of transgressions, whilst at the same time absolutely letting people get away with, you know, sometimes murder, mm-hmm. who are sometimes literally murder people who are pets of the system. So when I say literally murder, there have been cases in America where blacks have attacked whites because the white has allegedly called them the N-word or something, right. as minor as that, right. and the black person has then spent 2 years on house arrest, or and let's face it, Patrick, what really punishment is that today? Now, house arrest, when you're a medieval peasant and you were
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
And let's face it, Patrick, what really punishment is that today? Now, house arrest, when you're a medieval peasant and you were stuck in some sort of probably cold and quite, damp at times shack, maybe with a book to read by candlelight, was probably a bit of a pain in the arse. But by today's standards, house arrest is like living in a palace. I mean, if you put me on house arrest for the next 5 years, I probably play quite a bit of PUBG, organize my games collection, you know, play through that backlog of retro games I've been itching to get on with, do the gardening. I mean, the garden would be absolutely bloody beautiful, wouldn't it? You know, can you imagine? You could have an hour a day weeding, get that, you know, get the rock pool sorted at the around the tree, you know, do all stuff like that. It'd be brilliant. You know, basically what I'm saying is, you know, two, three years of house arrest for anyone would be fundamentally a good thing. It would be, it's almost like being on holiday, isn't it? And I suppose when you're under house arrest, the government have to give you some kind of sustenance or deliver your food or ensure that, you know, your bills are paid to some degree because you're under house arrest.
Yeah, do they have a lot of house arrest in Britain?
Not really.
Yeah.
Arrest in Britain is something very different. So what you tend to get is not like what we would know as house arrest, but what you would know as house arrest. It's usually something which is a particularly a particularly draconian, that would be the best way to put it, set of restrictions which affect your living. So there have been cases where people have literally misgendered people on social media. Mm-hmm. They've been arrested and the courts have drawn up what would be, you know, for want of a better term, a scandalous set of restrictions where the police can come into your house at any time, where you have to register your phones and your devices or anything that can access the internet with the police. If the police want to come into your house and check those devices at any time they can, if you use a device that you haven't registered with the police, you're breaking the rules. So I wouldn't really say it's house arrest, but there are sort of these draconian restrictions placed on people's ability to live a normal life, and those are imposed for things which are just absolutely insane.
Right. Well, we are pretty much out of time. Hey, do you know who you're going to invite on the David Duke Show this coming?
I'm not sure. I want to get, before David comes back, I want to get both Laura Towler from Patriotic Alternative and Andreas Johansson from the Nordic Resistance on. So it'll be one of those two.
Okay. Well, that sounds very interesting. And I want to thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much, my friend. It's been a great show. I'll see you same time next week.
Okay, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National People Radio.
Chinatown, my Chinatown, where the lights are low.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.